It is good to be here once again as we're here to study the Word of God and grow towards perfection, be better servants of God. And as we are striving to make it to heaven, that's what we are striving to do. Always good to have visitors with us, and want Michael to know, and those who out there listening, please come visit with us. Amen. We're always happy to have visitors and study the Word of God with us. Amen. I want to continue my thought on the subject of challenges. Challenges, and we talked about must be challenged. We must be challenged, and it must be a good challenge. And then we have to carry those challenges out, is what we want to talk about. I think this will be the last sermon that I deal with on challenges. Now, I have the definition of the word challenge. The word challenge means a call to take place in a contest or competition, especially a duel. Now, I'm not talking about us challenging one another. God don't want us to be challenging, I don't think, one another. He don't want us to compare ourselves with one another. Remember, Paul said if we comparing ourselves with one another and measuring ourselves with one another, we're not wise, because what we measure ourselves with is the Word of God, and that's the standard. I'm not the standard. So no, there's no need in people measuring themselves and comparing themselves with one another. But what we need to do as Christians, I think we need to take the Word of God and compare. I need to compare myself and see if I'm lined up with the Word of God, not compare myself with someone else. Now, Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Let's look at that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and 5. And if I examine my life and examine myself and line it up with the Word of God, I believe that I'll grow. I believe you'll grow if you would do the same thing. Because if we compare ourselves with each other, I can say, well, I'm just as better as John Doe. And John Doe can say, well, I'm just as better than Larry Woods. But if we examine ourselves with the Word of God and see if my life is lining up with it, then I know I'll grow. You'll grow. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. And while you're finding that, and I believe that Paul was writing to the Corinthians, because what they were doing, they were looking at Paul's life, and they knew that Paul had weaknesses. And if you study the Bible, we all have them. But Paul was saying, examine yourself according to the faith, to the Word of God. All right? 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. The faith is the system of faith, the New Testament, the Word of God. Test yourselves. Test yourselves. What do we test ourselves with? We test ourselves with the Bible, the Word of God. Not me, not John Doe. I don't do that with John Doe and vice versa. But vice versa. But we test ourselves with the book, with the Word. Test yourselves. I think the old King James would say, examine yourself. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Isn't that a good feeling to know that Christ is in us? We have obeyed the gospel. He is in us. Unless indeed you are disqualified. And so as we look at this, there must be a good challenge. There must be a good challenge. Not enough just to be challenged, but must be for right purpose. So let me say that again. Not enough just to be challenged, must be for right purpose, the challenge. Example, man breaking a zebra to plow. Man breaking a zebra to plow. Now, why would a person want to break a zebra to plow a piece of ground? They wasn't made for that. Any of you know anything about a zebra? Z-E-B-R-A. Now, what they do, what the zebras do, I did a little research, and you can check it out when you go home. What they do, they kind of grass, they kind of pave the way for animals, but you cannot use a zebra to break a piece of ground. So you got to use things for the right purpose. That's my point. You cannot take your automobile and put a plow on it and break that field at the house. It's not, the automobile was not made for that. Okay? You got to stay with me now. Stay with me. Another example, and what I'm trying to emphasize the fact, I won't be too long, there must be a good challenge, not enough just to be challenged, must be for right purpose. And the next point I have, example, breaking record longest without food. Breaking record longest without food. People trying to see who can go the longest without eating. That ain't no good challenge. You'll damage your body. Because the body was, God has the man created the body to eat. And then you find people in these hot dog contests trying to see who can eat the how many hot dogs they can eat in a few minutes and trying to outdo and challenge this other guy. I wouldn't get into that. Challenge must be noble in purpose. Greatest challenge for our spiritual, greatest challenges are spiritual, intended into eternity. All earthly challenges will pass away at death, end of time. And that's why, remember Jesus said, we have to work while it is day. Because when night falls, no man can work. John 9:4. Do what you can while you're alive. Because when we die, there's no more working to be done. Jesus taught, what is a man profited, Matthew 16:26, if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Amen. Must be carried out. Those challenges that we endeavor to, and those goals we try to reach, we got to carry those out. Must be carried out. Elders can make the greatest challenges, but will fail if not carried out. See, we elders can make the greatest challenges, but they will fail if they don't carry those challenges out. Therefore, I want to present challenges for us in 2021 based on these three rules. Challenges. Open your Bibles to Galatians 6:9. Be faithful. You got to be faithful. Be faithful to the church. Galatians 6:9. Galatians 6:9. Now watch Paul as he is writing to the Galatians. And we all have, there's a lot of work to do in the kingdom, believe me. But Paul is saying, don't become tired in well-doing. You know, he talked about to bear one another's burdens and restoring brethren who fall away. And that's a job. That's a job. I'm not going to read all those scriptures, but from Galatians 6:1-9, and just keep going on reading, you'll see there's a lot of work to be done. And it can be let me say it like this, that way I won't be teaching no false doctrine, and your body can get tired, but your mind should never get tired of doing the right thing. And that's what Paul is saying here in Galatians 6 and verse 9, and let us not grow weary. It's going to come out. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart, if we don't give up. See what Paul is saying there? Be faithful to the church in 2021 and continue on as we live. We know we must be faithful. Now, Galatians 6 and 9, Paul now encourages Christians to steadfastness. He said, don't get tired, don't be weary in well-doing. This is for preachers as well. Well-doing is a broad term which would include doing all that Christians ought to do. Doing all that Christians ought to do. Well-doing would include bearing one another's burdens. See, that can be a job. Paul said, bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. If we don't bear one another's burden, you see a brother about to stumble or fall, or a sister about to stumble or fall, hold them up. Bear one another's burden. There is a human tendency to grow weary. Paul teaches one must keep on keeping on and not grow weary. At the proper time, according to God's timetable, one will reap if he or she perseveres to the end. We've got to hang in there until the end. It's not going to be easy. There is no question about God doing what he has promised. I got notes. I got a bunch of notes. And that way I won't miss what I need to say, and I'll finish what I need to say in a timely way. I keep an outline usually. If you don't have an outline, you'll just ramble on. You'll ramble here, ramble there, and miss half your points. There is no question about God doing what he has promised. He's going to do what he has promised.
Amen.
The only question is, will the individual Christian be faithful? And, you know, in Revelation 2 and verse 10, it tells us to be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Amen. Did you fail to visit either on or off a team group? In larger congregations, they have groups where they group up and they maybe go to the nursing home. People not wasn't able to go last year because of the pandemic, but sometimes congregations, large congregations, they have groups that, and if you're there, you'll be in a group, and that group may go to the nursing home to encourage the people, members there, encourage them. They may go and talk to maybe an errant child of God. They go in groups, not too many in a group, but that's the way they do that. James 1:27. James chapter 1 and verse 27, where James talks about pure religion. Pure religion. Thank God we don't have anyone in the nursing home today. And we used to, Sister Skiles and others, back several years ago. We'd go visit them and encourage them. But James says this is what pure religion is. In James 1:27, James chapter 1 and verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. Underscore in their trouble. To visit orphans and widows in their trouble. and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's pure religion there, brothers, sisters, and friends. To keep oneself, visiting the orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. The word visit, I just looked up the word visit. It says one definition of the word is to look upon in order to help or benefit. It don't mean that you go in there and say hi and bye. It means that you go to help, to see if I can do something to help them. That's what failure says, this word visit. It means to look upon in order to help our benefit. To look upon in order to help our benefit. Mm-hmm. One's actions, it has to do with one's actions towards others. One's actions towards others. Visit. Pure religion, which pleases God, is Christians being concerned about the needs of others. Christians seek to help others, especially the orphans and widows in their trouble. And we know as individuals, there's going to be people who are not Christians. And as an individual, I can help them individually. I can. If they're members of the church, as individuals, Christians can help. But Christians can help those needy saints who are in need. Okay? That's Galatians 6 and verse 9. Let's move on. Be interested in souls. Be interested in souls. In Acts 8 and verse 4, be interested in souls. If you look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, after the persecution. After the persecution in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, we know about Saul and how he persecuted the church, and at one time he killed Christians, but he changed. They're going to show us that it don't matter how bad a person is or have been, they can change. I want these people out there listening, you can change. You can change. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, and you've heard these scriptures before, Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. They went everywhere preaching the word. This was right after the persecution. Support mission work of the church. Give, pray, write letters, send cards, whatever it takes to get that gospel out, do that. You can send cards if you want to do that. That's okay. Our mission is to preach the word, to get the word out. That's the Great Commission. Go teach all nations. And sometimes, maybe it's good to send somebody a card. Your neighbor. Sometimes just send a card to a neighbor, send a tract to a neighbor. My neighbor told me, he said, that's one thing he don't get into is politics and religion. Well, sometimes people don't want to get into religion because they don't read the Bible and they can't talk about it. Mm-hmm. But he said he wouldn't get into politics, but he talks into politics. But you bring up the Bible, then I don't get into that. No. Well, we need to get in it because that's what we're going to be judged by, John 12:48. He who rejects me, Jesus said, and receives not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Okay? So sometimes just send a card, send a tract in the mail, get people's address. You might just send a tract in the mail about the New Testament church. Talk to and invite friends to worship. Just invite people. You don't have to get into a deep Bible discussion. Just invite them. I ask people, have you ever been to visit the Church of Christ? And some say they never have. I said, well, now it's the church that's in the Bible. You ought to come and visit sometimes. Use telephone. Encourage weak brothers. Like I said, give out a tract. Make sure it's small. Don't overwhelm them with Bible knowledge, because that can get them discouraged. Just too much of it. Swamp them. Don't do that. Look for special studies. Example, open Bible studies. I tell people that we have Bible studies. I will study with you at the building or at your house. You know, we have Bible studies with you if you're interested in that. Millions have given up on religion because of doctrines of men. There are just so many different views, and people don't know what to believe. They don't know. I tell them, I say, here's what you can do. If we use a standard, we use the Word of God. Now, we could guess on, and I've done this before. I told some guys at work, I said, you and I, we can guess on how long this table is. And I tell them, I said, how long do you think it is? One man said so-and-so. Another man said it's 12 inches or whatever, a foot, 24 inches. I said, let's get the ruler. Get the standard. Get a tape measure and lay it out there. It tells you exactly how long it is. And stop to everybody. See, the Bible is a standard. It's the standard. All we have to do is just open up the Bible and let God's Word tell us what's right and what's wrong.
Amen.
That's all we have to do. I tell people, we don't have to argue, but just get the standard. Just get the standard. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. And that's everywhere we go. I don't care where you go, it's what it is. And nobody argues that. But you go to talking about, what about the New Testament church? And then people say, oh, any church will do. Well, any church won't do. Because Christ said, I'll build my church. And he promised to build it, and he did in Acts chapter 2. That's when it began. And anything before that is too early. Anything after that is too late. And the right church is in the Bible. And so millions have given up on religion because of the doctrines of men. Show them New Testament Christianity. Be good steward of God. This is my last point here. I think that's what I have here. Just be a good steward of God. In 1 Corinthians 4:1-2. Now watch it. Watch Paul on this here. First Corinthians chapter 4. And I have some good teaching here. 1 Corinthians 4:1-2. Listen to what Paul was writing to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 4. It's just so many things that, like I tell people, just while you're finding that scripture, just follow the standard. I don't mind correcting people in a nice way. When they call, they call the preacher a pastor. Well, that's an office. The word pastor means elder, over men who are overseers of the local church.
Amen.
A man's 18 years old can't be no pastor. He's not old enough to be a pastor. And I told some guys, I said, let's study that word pastor. Let's study the word bishop. And then you got women say she's a bishop. Well, she can't be no bishop. That is a man's job. And then women can't be preachers. It's a lot to be dealing with. God tells the women that they can't be no preachers. That's a job for men. And this is what Paul was saying. We're stewards. We must handle the God's word the way it should be handled. Now let's look at this. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Some translations, it's going to say ministers. Let a man so consider us as ministers. I'm using the New King James. It's going to say servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in steward that one be found faithful. Boy, that's a lot there. One must be found faithful. Now, as servants of Christ, the apostles were stewards of the gospel. They were stewards of the gospel. The mysteries of God are truths hidden in the Old Testament. However, these mysteries are clearly and publicly proclaimed in the Christian age. Okay? Everything that we need to know in the New Testament, we can read about that Old Testament situations and how Christ was already promised to come and he's going to would die on the cross for the sins of the whole world. All that was in the Old Testament telling us the future tense of what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? The message of the mystery was what God had done through Jesus Christ to save the lost mankind. As stewards, they must preach the gospel in its purity. Stewards must be faithful. And see, that's very important. A steward, he's got to be faithful. He's got to be faithful. And so, if you look at verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. And that is trustworthy and dependable. A steward is expected to act faithfully, talk faithfully, and just live faithful without interpretation of his own. We don't interpret the Bible. And with the sacrifice of his own interest, we cannot, it's not about the preacher. It's about what God wants. I remember one time a preacher, he decided that he wanted to go to another congregation. And the lady said, well, she's going to go to another congregation because the preacher, he's moving. She said, it's not about the preacher. It's not, is it? It's not about the preacher. As stewards, we must preach the gospel in its purity. Stewards must be faithful. And let me say this as we wrap this up. Ministers of Christ are merely stewards of the gospel. That's all we are. We're just stewards of the gospel. Preachers of the gospel are responsible to declare God's message without addition or without subtraction. This is not my word. This is God's word. Amen. We really own nothing. There is nothing that we really own because it all belongs to God. Even the material things that we have, I know we say my house and it's my house, my car, and we say that, it's recorded at the courthouse. But really, to be honest with you, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and everything's in it. It all belongs to God. We're just stewards. A steward is a manager. We're managers of it. And God wants us to use whatever we have to his glory. We own nothing. We brought nothing into this world. And it is certain we'll carry nothing out. One man said that you ain't never seen how they have it, a hearse. In other words, He's not going to take it with that man. Ain't going. He's got that hearse behind him, but he's not going to take that stuff with him. Mm-hmm. See, I'll get that right next time. I done lost my thought. A U-Haul, that's what it was. Yeah, that's what it was. You never seen a U-Haul, but you know he ain't gonna take that stuff to the grave. That was one. I'll tell you this and I'll go. We can bring it to a close. One time, there was a very rich man, and he was very rich. And one lady won't know how much he had or how much he owned. So how much is he leaving behind? He said, how much is that man leaving behind? I want to know how much he's leaving behind. And she finally got to the mortician, and the mortician just told her he's going to leave it all behind. You get it? He's going to leave it all behind. But we brought nothing into this world, and what we do have, we do take care of it because we're stewards. And I'm gonna bring it to a close. Be faithful. Be interested in souls. Be a good steward. It is a challenge, brothers, sisters, and friends. It's a good challenge. Need carrying out. If you are not a Christian, your greatest challenge is to obey the gospel. If Aaron, child of God, greatest challenge to repent and pray. So let us stand and sing the song of invitation, the plan of salvation. One must hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of their sins, confess Christ before men, and be buried with him in baptism. If you are a Christian and have gone back into the world, back into sin, please make it right while together we stand and sing.